So what with the resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 104. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, it's all about the X-Wing Starfighter. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin. How you doing, Caitlin?
Oh, pretty good, you?
I'm doing good, A little tired, but you know, it's all right.
Fair enough.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, get a hold of us on Twitter, at our radio podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hyperbole.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including The Last Shot, the latest Han Solo and Lando Calrissian book, which is kind of good. Like, I'm not done with it yet. I'm like halfway through right now. I like it. I don't know why I said kind of. It is good. Definitely check it out. Anyway, we've launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks include Discord chat, recording studio, movie nights, and After Dark episodes. If you join us on Patreon, guys, it really is to help support the podcast. It allows us to maintain our website, produce merchandise, go to conventions, and just different things so we can be with you. But it's all right if you can't support us via Patreon. We do have merchandise available on our website. T-shirts, button packs are available there for you to purchase. Caitlin, it's time for the news. So,
exciting.
Guess what? They have announced a new Star Wars animated series.
Exciting!
Remember we talked about this? We said, "Hey, they've trademarked this Star Wars Resistance. It's way more than just like a mobile game or anything. It's going to be a TV series." And sure enough, they have announced Star Wars Resistance, an anime-inspired series set for the fall. So this is kind of cool, because it's an all-new animated series. It is going to be in the style of anime, if you've watched any anime films and stuff like that. And it's really cool, because it is still done by Dave Filoni. So it was created by him. I don't know if he's the showrunner, but he's the one that is there. And the really cool part is, Star Wars Resistance follows the series, follows a Resistance pilot, recruited by the Resistance and tasked with a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. So the really cool thing about this is, like, this is something I absolutely love. You know, our spotlight topic tonight is going to be the X-Wing Starfighter. I love the X-Wing, ship. It's my favorite. It's the most iconic ship to me, next to a TIE fighter. And this series, I love the Millennium Falcon, but I think it's the X-Wing for me. Like, it really is. We'll get into it, I'm sure, but we'll talk about it when I get to our spotlight topic. But this series, I'm so excited for, because one, Clone Wars and Rebels, I absolutely loved, and I think you're in the same opinion with me on those two series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where this one will go, and I'm excited that they're doing a different style animation on this. I wish I had thought about grabbing this beforehand. Do you remember, we talked about this, I don't even know if you were on the show back then, but do you remember the TIE Fighter anime that we talked about?
No.
The short film? No?
No. Not coming to memory. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right. Well, this is what we'll do is I'm going to link this so everyone can watch this. So there is a TIE Fighter animated short. It's like 7 minutes long. It came out about a couple years ago. Maybe 2 years ago. It's totally worth checking out, but it was one of the coolest animated films that, that came out specifically. Like, it's a fan film, right? And it's an animated style. It's a music video, if you will, but it's 7 minutes long, and it's all about TIE pilots, and it is one of the coolest things ever. Like, there's no words or anything. It's the anime style. It's just really exciting. And I think Starfighters, really is one of those things where I think because of the high action and everything, that style, that anime style, is just really leads right into it really well. And if the series has any action, anything like that short film, I'm just beyond ecstatic, like, for it. Like, just looking at the poster that they did, you know, the stylization of BB-8, the water, the clouds. It's not an X-Wing that's in there, but it's another ship. It almost looks like a Z-95 Headhunter or something. It's just super exciting. And the cool part about this, this series, is it takes place in the era, or just prior to The Force Awakens. So you'll see things like BB-8, probably Poe Dameron, which I know we have Oscar Isaac coming back to voice him. We'll have Captain Phasma. Will we see Paige and Rose, maybe? I don't know if we'll see Finn. I would love to see Finn, but remember, at this time, if it's before, he's a janitor, you know.
But
he's still.
It does talk about that the the main character is on a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. So if they have to infiltrate the First Order at any point, they could potentially run in to Finn.
That's true. They could run to Finn. You know, maybe he's mopping up and you have John Boyega say, oh, sorry.
Yeah, like, it just...
Be careful, it's slippery. slippery when wet, right? Something. Yep. But I'm excited for this. Like, you know, the last two animated series were absolutely phenomenal. This one, I'm really excited to see where this goes. One really cool thing is, to give you an idea, from Filoni, he said the idea of Star Wars Resistance came out of his interest in World War II aircraft and fighter pilots. His grandfather was a pilot, and his uncle flew and restored planes, so that's been a big influence on him. He had a long history of high-speed, there's a long history of high-speed racing in Star Wars, you know, from pod race to the different, you know, Death Star trench run and everything. But it's definitely one of the things where, just to capture that excitement of the flying, and I think, and I'll be honest with you, I mentioned that this TIE Fighter short came out a couple of years ago. I wouldn't be surprised if this came out, they watched it, and they just thought it was the coolest thing ever, and Filoni just had thought about this as an anime style from the get-go once he saw that. I feel like that animation may have inspired this series just a little bit. Maybe not the story, but I think the style. So I'm excited to see how it goes, because, I think fighter planes are going to look super awesome as anime. I don't know.
Excited. And I think, like, it's a totally different style from the other two, so I think it might take some getting used to, but I've watched anime and I have no problem with, like, that form. But it's also exciting because it's a completely different era.
Yeah.
Whereas the other two, like, it was the Clone Wars and it was Rebels. This is a completely different era, so it makes sense that it's viewed or demonstrated in a different fashion.
Well, even then, like, even though Clone Wars was CGI and Rebels was CGI, you do have, like, Clone Wars was one style of CGI, and then you had Rebels, a completely different style of CGI. Like, they're both CGI, but, like, if you look at them side by side, like, the stylization of the characters and stuff, they look completely different.
Yeah.
And obviously that's done on purpose, like, they were taking the style in cue. I will tell you, the first time I saw Rebels, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like the style of the characters. Again, I was so used to Clone Wars and the clones and the chiseled features of General Kenobi and Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, and Anakin. So I was so excited for it. But this one, like, unlike Rebels, where I was kind of like, I don't know, like, this one I'm, like, totally into just because of the anime. I don't know. I'm excited for it. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure we'll be getting something soon. Probably a little bit after Solo is out, we'll probably get a little bit more about this. But I'm excited. I don't know about you. Like, I just, man, like, you can't see me right now, but I'm excited. I'm shaking.
I think I'd just be that much more excited if it was accessible for me to view it when it came out.
Yeah, sorry. Canada doesn't get that stuff all the time. Sorry. I'm sure you can get it, like, on Netflix. Well, no, it's on Disney XD, so I'm sure you can, like, I bet you Apple iTunes will sell it, and it'll be, like, available the next day after it airs. I'm sure you can do that. I know Disney has sold those stuff there.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because at one point in the article, it did mention it was going to be released on Disney, but that it was going to take a while before it was accessible, like, internationally. And sometimes they count Canada as international, sometimes they don't. So we'll see.
You're America's little brother. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'll tell you all about it anyway, even if you don't get to see it when it comes
out. I'm sure you will.
You know I will. Anyway, so moving on from Resistance, which I'm excited for. Like, man, I think it almost overshadows some of the other top things that, you know, that we have news for. But I will say, this is kind of cool, is Solo, yes, Solo, A Star Wars Story, has gotten some new posters. So we talked about a couple different posters so far. We talked about the individual character posters, the one that says Solo and you see Han Solo in it, the one that said Kira and you had Kira in it, and, you know, Lando, and they also had Chewie. So they released those four posters, for one of the first four. Then we talked about the official Han Solo poster they released for the U.S., which was kind of cool. You know, the colors, and I like the gradation and everything. And then I think last week we talked about the UK poster, which we thought, I don't know, for me, I said, I think it's like the best thing ever.
I think we thought it was the best thing ever because Lando was so prominent.
Yeah, like I personally just like, and I still think it's probably the best poster. But they have introduced new individual, you know, I really want to say Solo characters, but, you know, it's Solo, yeah, individual character posters, which are pretty cool. Like, I'll be honest, like, there's, and it tells you the actor's name, Alden Ehrenreich as Han, and then it says Solo, which I find really funny, because it says as Han, and then it says Solo, A Star Wars Story underneath it, get it, Han Solo, and then you have Emilia Clarke as Kira, Solo, A Star Wars, you know, so I really do like it, and it's still in the same style as all the U.S. posters. The only gripe I have with these, have you looked through all of them, Caitlin?
Is it the Chewbacca one?
Hmm?
That you have a problem with?
So the only one I have a problem with is the Chewbacca poster.
Yes. I saw that and went, wait a second, and then I backed up, and then I went forward, and I kind of pouted for
a
bit.
You know why? Can you tell me why I have this one? Is because
the actor's name isn't on it?
Yeah, it doesn't have Jonas's name, doesn't have Peter Mayhew's name. Like, I get that sometimes there's two people that, you know, have played Chewbacca, but really, you know, it's
there was room. They could have made room.
They could have made room. And honestly, in this one, I'm pretty sure it's just Jonas, was it Sutemo?
Yeah. Satemo?
I think it's just Jonas Satemo or Sutemo. I can't say his, last name.
I think it's Sutemo.
Sutemo? Yeah, but yeah, I think it really bothers me. It's like, oh, well, it's because he's Chewbacca. He's an alien character. But if you go forward and you look through, you know, past Thandie Newton's one as Val, and Paul Bettany as Drayden, and Woody Harrelson as Beckett, then you get to Phoebe Walker-Bridge as L337. Okay. And then you got Jon Favreau as Rio. Like, it's like, wait a minute, these are CGI or, you know, characters too, and then Chewbacca is just as Chewbacca. Like, it kind of bothers me. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it caught my attention too. The other thing, if we're ready to, like, not talk about how frustrated we are with the fact that he didn't get the recognition, but everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
I like Val's poster because I never really noticed how it looks like she's wearing a pressure cuff.
Mm-hmm.
And has these tubes.
These tubes coming around her outfits and then the stuff around her, kind of the centerpiece, the fur and everything.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that's like a health thing or if that's related to like a weapon.
Or it could also be like, you know, a heated pressure cuff because it looks like that fur is going to be, because we know they go on to a planet that's cold. So maybe that's just like a thermal type suit or something. Who knows? We'll have to find out more when the Solo movie comes out. It kind of bothers me, especially like when you look at, I'm sorry, I'm back on this because I'm flipping through the pictures of all these posters and the posters are great. Like, I will say out of all of them, I do like the L337 one. I feel like just what we've seen of L337, I feel like it's going to be such a sassy droid. I love it. I feel like it's Chopper in a C-3PO style robot that speaks. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what L337 is going to be. Like, mixed with, like, BB-8 and K2SO. Like, I feel like Chopper and K2 is where it got its personality from. I don't know.
Agreed.
But yeah, so I'm excited for these posters. I think they've done a good job with a lot of the marketing. I will say, I feel like the marketing is a little lax for Solo. When you consider we are like, what, less than a month away from it? Yeah, we're less than 30 days away from Solo, yep. Star Wars Story. And we've gotten two trailers, a couple TV spots. I think we've talked, here's the thing is, even when we think about The Last Jedi, like, we couldn't keep up with all the stuff coming out with The Last Jedi on this podcast. And with the Solo stuff, like, we've been able to kind of analyze everything that's come out. So, I don't know.
I think it's just because they've run out of time with the reshoots and the reshoots and the reshoots. I think they just kind of ran out of time for the amount of marketing they would usually do.
Yeah, I think they were so stressed to try to hit that May date. And I'm happy that they're hitting that May date, but...
And another question, well. Like, I don't really remember very well for Rogue One. Were they... Advertisement go as much as like a Skywalker story one?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, I think in recent memory, you know, we've had three films, right? We've had Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi. I think when you compare Rogue One to to Force Awakens, it didn't have as much. And I remember talking on the podcast here about, hey, where's all this stuff? You know, we're getting stuff a lot sooner for the Force Awakens. But at the same time, you know, it was the first Star Wars film, in almost 20 years again, or a decade. And you have with Rogue One, they still released a bunch of stuff for it. I would say they released as much as they did with The Last Jedi. This one, I feel like it is a little short. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not other stuff that we're missing. You know, a good example is the next article we have, the next bit of news, is there is a video, a promotional video for Solo, A Star Wars Story, with Donald Glover giving us a tour of the Millennium Falcon that's playing before the movie trailers start in the movies. Some theaters call this the 20, other ones call it the pre-show or show to news. I don't know. Every theater I go to, they show these videos before the trailers start. So I guess people can kind of like not be bored while sitting there waiting. And, did you see this video, Caitlin? We watched it, right?
Oh yes. I had to look at
it reminds me a little bit of something like a MTV Cribs or something where it's like, hey, let me show you around my starship here. You know, and it's just Donald Glover in a t-shirt, like saying, let me show you around the Millennium Falcon. And it's really, really cool. I will say that my favorite part, and I think you just said it, is that it starts with him walking through, and then he shows you this closet. It's got everything. And it's his cape armoire. You know, it's all the capes, like all the different capes. Because, you know, it's Lando, and he needs to have a cape, because, hello there, it's Lando, right?
Well, and I have to say, like, usually the rule is no capes, but I feel like I can make an exception for Lando, especially no if capes. You have a walk-in closet for it.
Yeah, right? You know, and I get it, like, you know, the joke is no capes, like, we see that from Incredibles and superheroes, like, capes is, like, something that a lot of the superheroes do. But Lando pulls it off. And we did see back in July, Ron Howard tweeted a sneak peek of Lando's closet. Now, what's funny is, as I look at these pictures from Ron Howard's tweet, it looks like it's on the Millennium Falcon, like what we saw with Lando, or with Donald Glover giving us a walkthrough. But at the time, it almost just looked like, oh, this is just in a dressing room with the lights.
Yep. Well, and I'm not going to lie, because in the article it mentions, like, you can actually get a glimpse of it in one of the TV spots. And I was like, I didn't see this. And sure enough, you watch it if you're looking for it. There is a scene where Kira is trying on the capes, and you can see her in that room. And I don't blame her. I'd want to try on the capes, too.
Yeah, seriously. You also see in that same one where Kira is trying on the capes, you see Han in the reflection in the mirror behind her. Just kind of leaning against the doorway, yep. Which I will say is a very without seeing Alden Ehrenreich's face, I would have said, oh, that's, you know, Harrison Ford. Like, he's got the mannerism of Han Solo down. So that makes me feel good. Like, something as simple as the capes that, you know, Lando wears. Man, I need to get myself a cape. Like, I feel like, I'm going to ask you this, Caitlin. If I was to get a cape and just to wear it around town, do you think I could pull it off?
I'd probably judge you.
Okay. Well, I don't really care if people judge me, but...
Oh, and there you go. Just do what you want to do.
Do what I want to do. Wear a cape. Now, here's the thing. It's like, I've dressed up with capes like in Halloween. The problem with capes is when you try to sit down, you sit on the cape and it chokes you.
I don't know. That's maybe the beauty of Lando's capes, because most of his capes are short. So it prevents that awkward moment from happening.
Yeah. Maybe. All right. Moving on from Lando's capes. I don't know if you can ever move on from Lando's capes.
No, you can't.
We do have some Topps collectible Journey to Solo, the Star Wars story card collection has been started to release. They're going to release 25 different cards, and they're going to release them one a day every weekday until the film comes out. And the cool thing about this is, you know, they're just Topps cards and they're digital and you can get them. But they've released 4 cards so far. And I will say this, it does show some scenes that we haven't seen in the trailer. Which I really like. Like, I really like the shot of Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon. I think we may have seen something that was leading up to it, but it's a very Han Solo-esque pose that we have for this one.
On the right-hand side of the picture, you can also see some fur. So I'm going to assume that's Chewy.
I didn't even catch that. There's just a little bit, so there's Chewy there. So, yeah. You know, but it's a nice, shot, and you can see the loading ramp of the Millennium Falcon there. So, like, it's a really cool shot there. And then the second card was none other than Lando Calrissian, and it says Lando Calrissian plays the game. And it's this one I think we've seen directly from a trailer. I don't think it's, like, a special shot or anything like that, but it may be from a different angle, but it looks pretty good. Now, the third card is interesting. It's from Moolock and the Stormtroopers. Features the Krillian gang leader, Moolock. And I really like this shot. Like, I don't remember seeing this in the trailers anywhere. Do you remember it in the trailer at all?
Nope.
It might just be, but it's really cool to see, like, just another alien character and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice. And the fourth card they've released so far features Val and Beckett wearing Mud Trooper uniforms on Mimban. So it's interesting to see that Beckett and Val are in the trenches, and it looks like they're going to go undercover, which will give us a little bit of a idea of what might be happening in the Solo film
as part of that heist. Because Val's looking one way and Beckett's looking the other, and their expressions are different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. Wow. I'm intrigued.
You're intrigued, yeah. I will say this. I also like the little border they have. The little Millennium Falcon on the side with, coming out, and then, like, all the, the dust at the bottom. I really like it. I like the little frame they did. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I will say this is one of those things where I'm excited to see the rest of them. To see these images, I'll link them on our website. But you can just follow Topps on Twitter, which is at TOPPS. And you'll be able to see as they release them each day. So they won't be releasing any today on Saturday or tomorrow Sunday. But starting Monday, the 29th, you'll be able to get a new card that Topps will release. So we're going to wait and see what it is. All right. Anything else, Caitlin, about the news? This week, this is why I'm interested about Solo is it seems like it's fairly like a month away. And we don't have a lot of news. Like,
yep.
It's quiet. We talked about, our spotlight topic was the toy event, Wookiee Weekends, that we had with, we had Dano on, and it was kind of a bust for both me and Dano. It wasn't the same, like we talked about The Last Jedi, it was like, get your Rey game on, and it was all excited with the VR and everything, and they even had, like, PetSmarts and stuff like that. So, I'm not worried about the solo film, but it's definitely the advertising a little underwhelming.
Well, and I'm wondering if, because the other good chunk of Disney is busy with another war-related title that might be out this weekend. So maybe they're a little distracted.
And you know what's really interesting is I kind of feel like that too, because I feel like Infinity War didn't even get that much advertising. But I don't think it needed to, because it was like everyone led up to it.
Can I tell a side story? Invited some friends to go see it this weekend, and I just kind of briefly said, oh, we're going to go see this. Did you want to join? And one of them's like, yeah, like, he likes going to the movies. Why not? And then we were talking about it, and something came up about the movie itself. He's like, that's what we're going to go see? Cool. He had no idea this movie was coming out or that it was another Avengers movie.
Well, and that's the whole thing. So, like, Infinity War also didn't get a lot, but I think it's going to do well. I have yet to see it just because, you know, babysitter has to happen. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'll be 100% honest with you. I think they're going to wait for it, and then, like, the last 2 weeks leading up to Solo, we'll see a lot for it.
Yeah, they're probably waiting for this weekend to blow over a bit, and then they'll start hitting us with
a little bit more Solo stuff, teasers, trailers, more TV spots. And I think, and you know, and I agree, and I think the reason why is this is, you know, you have to remember Lucasfilm is part of Disney, and Marvel's part of Disney, and it's not like they're not going to want to compete against each other. They just won't. Like, there's no reason to. They're both huge franchises. They're both going to stand on their own. But yeah, that's cool. Anyway, I think it is time for our spotlight topic. So this spotlight topic, I'm excited for. I don't want to go too much into, like, history of the X-Wing Starfighter. Like, I don't want to, because I feel like you can get that on YouTube already, and it's just the two of us, so it's not like, you know, I don't want to do a history lesson. But there were two X-Wing Starfighters that we see in the movies. There's a couple more variations that we see in the books, specifically the X-Wing book series, which I want to do a book club. Maybe we'll do reread those X-Wing EU X-Wing book series. I know Danya hates Wedge and Tilly, so maybe she won't join us, but I will say I like them. And I'll be honest with you, I think the reason I like Wedge so much is because of that X-Wing book series. Yeah. That book series is good. Plus, it also introduced one of my favorite EU characters, which was Corran Horn. You know, he like, one of my favorite books in the EU is a book called I, Jedi, which, you know, it's like a personal, like, diary look of someone becoming a Jedi, training under Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, which I feel like some of that could be retconned because we know Luke, he tried to start a Jedi Academy. Obviously, it failed and didn't do the same thing as what the EU did, but I kind of like that book so much, and I like his journey in it. And he was an X-Wing pilot, and, you know, he was another Force-sensitive X-Wing pilot that was part of Rogue Squadron. So I maybe we'll go into that X-Wing book series. But we had two X-Wings that we saw in the films. In the original trilogy, we had the INCOM T-65 X-Wing Starfighter. And that was flown by Luke Skywalker, Wedge Antilles, Big Darkletter, and A New Hope. Luke was Red 5. We had Hera Syndulla fly in Rebels, along with what's his name? Soto's nephew. It's only been so long since I saw that Rebels episode, and the mind's slipping from me. He was from Wraith Squadron. Anyway, we also had Blue Squadron from Rogue One. All of them that went under through the shield at Scarif were in X-Wings, the T-65. And then in A New Hope, we had a redesigned X-Wing, which, if you didn't notice it, I remember this was a huge thing. I don't think we talked about it much on this show, but on the forums and for myself, like, this was huge. They changed it. The ship looked different, and I remember the first time we saw the new X-Wing, it was with J.J. Abrams standing in front of a life-size one in, it looked like a Jakku, talking about, with Omaze, like, have a chance to win and walk on set and be a character. And you saw this X-Wing that looked different. It was the INCOM T-70 X-Wing. And there's not that much that changed. Caitlin, I know I sent you links to both of them. What do you think about these? Like, even though they're different, they definitely look similar, right?
Yeah, so it, like, I see it kind of like our cars. Like, you can have the same brand and they'd have a certain model, and every once in a while they really kind of change up the styling of that model. Now, sometimes it looks similar, but they've kind of changed the angles a bit, and then other times you can't, like, they don't look the same at all. So I think in this one they just kind of made it more sleeker and different colors, and probably because of the year difference, it has more technology to it, like better technology, and yeah, the specs like on it probably it's, better.
It's the new version of the Ford Mustang, if you will, or something like that. The main difference between the two, like just looking at them, obviously there's the fuselage, the nose is different in the two different X-Wings, but the engines are the big things. So the X-Wings are known with they're obviously, when they open up their S-foils, they make that X. The engines of the T-65, the ones from the original trilogy, is four circular engines. So you have like four circles that touch together, and then you have the S-foils that are there. In the T-70, they are half circles. So when they open, you know, when the S-foils are closed, you have two circles, and when it opens up, you have, you know, four half circles. So it definitely still looks like the traditional X-Wing that we've come to know from, you know, I would say the Galactic Civil War, you know, from the original trilogy era, you know, between the Rebellion and the Empire. But it changed, and I will tell you this, the nostalgia in it, it works for me. Like, it did work. When we had Jay Mercado on, he was the guy who was the hard surface modeler. When we did our 100th episode, it made me go back and listen to a lot of those episodes. That episode was called BBH Just Blew Up My House. I don't know why we called it that, but on that episode with him, you know, he talked about how even though the ships were different, like the Millennium Falcon was different, the X-Wings were different, as he modeled them, they became part of the Star Wars ethos, if you will. Like, they just became part of Star Wars. And as I sit looking at the comparison between these two, just looking at the ships, they definitely still feel like you said, like, this is the, you know, one is the, you know, the Mustang from 98, and this is the Mustang, the 2018 edition. You know, it's a 20-year difference, but you can still tell it's that vehicle. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, I was talking to you earlier, Caitlin, and I want to bring this up while we're talking about the X-Wing. So, for me, I said the X-Wing is probably one of the most iconic ships in Star Wars. You know, you mentioned the Millennium Falcon, and I agree, the Falcon is probably the most that most people would say, next to maybe TIE Fighters. But the X-Wing, for me, holds a special place. I'm going to tell you why. When I was a little kid, the X-Wing was the ship that I pretend to fly. And this leads me to, like, Star Wars Resistance. And I want to tie this into Star Wars Resistance a little bit, because that's the big news from today. And that's what kind of inspired us talking about X-Wings that are a spotlight topic. Is because, like, you know, just like Dave Filoni talking about, like, the, you know, start, you know, the fighter pilots of World War II, the dogfights that we saw, the most planes do and everything. And that's what they based the original films on. And with Rogue One, we got our first glimpse of, like, kind of a behind the cockpit view of these X-Wings. And it's kind of amazing just to, like, see, you know, how these ships flew. And it really is one of those things where it just brings back so much nostalgia. So for me as a kid, I'll be honest with you, I had this couch my parents had. It was a brown couch. I remember this because I don't know when they got rid of it. But I used to take one of the seat cushions, sit on the floor, and put the seat cushions over my legs, and it was angled. And just that angle slope of it made it an X-Wing to me. Now, obviously, I was a little kid at the time. I was probably 3 or 4. And I used to imagine I was flying an X-Wing, and I would watch A New Hope flying my X-Wing made out of the couch cushions. So this is why, like I said, to me, the X-Wing is like the most iconic ship. I know that's goofy, but that's my story there, Caitlin.
Goofy. It's a lovely story.
A lovely little story. But the cool thing is, you know, when we talk about the X-Wing series, you know, the X-Wing fighter itself, there are some unique things to it that kind of made it an ideal ship for the Rebellion and for the Resistance. One of the really cool things is it does have, well, you know, it has strong shields. That's something that the First Order talked about in A New Hope, in The Force Awakens, that they went ahead and redid The TIE Fighters, unlike the Empire, where the TIE Fighters were disposable because they just had so many and they didn't have shields, and the Rebel Alliance and the Rebels had better equipped ships, the First Order took a cue from that and they redesigned their ships. So it's one of those things where these little things that the X-Wing had over a TIE Fighter, whereas the T-70 X-Wing that we have in the First Order, or in the new series, doesn't really have over the First Order TIE Fighters. Any thoughts on X-Wings, Caitlin?
For me, it's the Millennium Falcon, just because I'm easy.
Mm-hmm.
It gets more screen time than any other ship, but afterwards it would be the X-Wing. But then I think of the TIE Fighters, and then I think of the Starfighters, and it's a progression for me that it doesn't stop. But yeah. I definitely would put, and maybe because I always prefer the light side of things, I usually go for the Millennium Falcon or the X-Wing.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, the X-Wing is such a versatile ship. Like, it can be a bomber. It's not really a bomber. You know, you have things like the Y-Wing that were designed for bombers, and then we also have Cobalt Squadron, and those ships are bomber ships, obviously. But it can do that. It has, you know, it has the ability for a pilot and an astromech to help out. It's got concussion missiles, and we know it has proton torpedo. That's how Luke was able to destroy the first Death Star. So it is one of those things that's really cool. Like, unlike the prequels era, when you had like the Jedi Starfighters, which I will say, I think the Jedi Starfighters look really cool. Even the clone Starfighters looked pretty cool too, but they didn't have built-in hyperspace capability. You know, the X-Wings have built-in hyperspace. You know, they have their own hyperspace engine on them, so they can fly and they can leave at a whim. You know, that's how the Resistance fighters, the X-Wings, drop into Takodana to save the day as, Finn, and Han Solo and them get captured. So it's kind of cool that we see just, you know, these little things that you wouldn't think that the ship would have. And they are iconic. In fact, I will say the shot of the X-Wings during the Battle of Takodana over the water, I think we spent an episode just analyzing that, how it was just so cool, just seeing the ships, like, just skim the water rise up. Like, that was such an awesome shot, and it instantly immortalized the X-Wing as, hey, it's still around, it's still the awesome fighter that the good guys use in the film.
Can you imagine what it's going to look like in the anime series, though?
That's my point. Like, I am so excited for this. Like, it looked so good in the TIE Fighter short film. Even though it was all about TIE Fighters and the Imperial pilots and they killed all the X-Wings, I am so excited for it. But I will say this. So, thinking back to Star Wars Resistance, you know, we know we're going to see the X-Wing fighter there. We know we're going to have, you know, a story following a Resistance pilot that's recruited. Is there any hopes you have of seeing the X-Wing in the animated series? Like, anything that you really hope it does?
You mean like as a show, not like in revolving around the X-Wing?
Well, I don't think it's going to revolve around the X-Wing. Obviously, all the Star Wars series revolve around the characters. But I feel like it's going to be the X-Wing ship, or because they already talk about Poe Dameron. And we know Poe Dameron is the pilot. And I will say this, like, did you read The Last Jedi novel?
No.
No? Yes?
No. I did not.
Okay. So, in the, you know, obviously when you read the novelization of a book or of a movie, you get a little bit more insights of things. It's mm-hmm. really funny is, in The Last Jedi, Poe Dameron has, you know, his X-Wing, right? Black One. And he has that special extra engine, you know, scrapped onto it at the beginning of the film, and he just, you know, rockets past, goes faster than, he expects, right? And it's really funny because BB-8 has to communicate with the ship to do different things. That's why an astromech is his co-pilot, if you will. And apparently, like, in the book, Black One, the X-Wing, is given a personality. Like, he's given a personality, which is really interesting because he asked BB-8 things like, how fast was I going when we ignited the engine? And BB-8 gives him the answer. I don't remember what it was off my head. He's like, is that as fast? Is that the fastest any X-Wing starfighter has ever gone? And BB-8 goes, oh, that's a good question. And he searches, you know, the Star Wars internet, if you will, you know, the holonet and everything. And he said, yes, that is the fastest. And then, you know, Black One goes back, is that the fastest any ship has ever gone? It's really funny that Black One has gotten this little personality. And I've never thought of having, like, a ship have a personality, but the novelization of The Last Jedi does that. So I feel like we won't see that now, that personality show up in the anime series Resistance, but I'm excited to see how those ships will be portrayed, not only just in an anime style, but because like I mentioned that, you know, any of the series, the film or the series, TV series focus on the characters. Just like if you look at Clone Wars, it was all about Anakin and the battles that were there. Obviously there was episodes without him, but it was about getting to know who Anakin was and Ahsoka specifically, you know, him growing as a trainer, a Jedi, and Ahsoka growing up, leave the Jedi Order. Whereas Rebels was about Ezra and his journey from street urchin Aladdin with his Aladdin hair to Jedi Knight who sacrificed himself to save his planet. And, you know, so it's really one of those things that are just, it's all about the characters. So we know we are following one character who's recruited. And then, but, you know, I can't imagine Kasuda, the character that we follow, since he's a pilot, I can't imagine he doesn't fly an X-Wing at least once or twice throughout the series.
I actually kind of expect it. I'll be kind of disappointed if he doesn't.
Yeah, I totally expect him to,
supposed to be a pilot, right? And I just assume, like, I think that speaks to my, like, connection. It's like, okay, you're part of the Resistance, and you're a pilot, therefore you're an X-Wing pilot. But there are other ships that he could be piloting. It doesn't specifically say which one, but if he doesn't regularly fly or pilot an X-Wing, I hope the first moment he does, he gets, like, a little, like, moment to be excited. Like, basically, like, any fan would be if they got to sit in the cockpit of an X-Wing.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have something that would tie it to it. But yeah, so X-Wing Starfighter, you know, just bringing it back to the topic, you know, I don't want to go too much into it, but do you have anything you really wanted to add to it? I know this is a short episode, but like I said, I just wanted to think about the evolution of them between the two films. Going back before the special edition, you know, we didn't really have any really amazing exterior shots of X-Wings. We had just the internal kind of flight that we saw during the Death Star Trench. A couple slow-moving shots that we get in, you know, the motion capture cameras that we had back in the 70s. Obviously, Special Edition added more Rogue One, Last Jedi, Force Awakens. Added space battles to be that much more exciting. But yeah, like, X-Wings really, to me, are just such an iconic piece of Star Wars. Kind of like when you look at, you know, cars from the 50s, you know, like, instantly you think of the 50s style cars, like when you think of, again, just using a George Lucas film, like American Graffiti, you know, like, cars were such a centerpiece of that movie, the stylization of it, you know what I mean?
And I think that, and also partially because I grew up with the original Star Wars series, I actually prefer the original. Not that there's anything wrong with the T-70. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I have no complaints. But if I had to pick one over the other, nostalgia takes over, and I prefer the T-65.
I'll agree with you. I prefer the T-65 over the T-70. And I will say I was really disappointed that we saw a T-65 in The Last Jedi underwater, Luke's ship. We saw it crashed, yeah, and just kind of decaying, if you will, under the water of Ahch-To.
Side note, when I saw it under, like, the first time I saw The Last Jedi and I saw it underwater, like, the X-Wing, I at one point I thought either Luke or Rey was going to lift it out of the water because
I know that was what Yoda did, right?
Yes, exactly. I thought they were gonna like pay a tribute to that, and then it just totally went, yep, it's down there, and that's where it's staying. And I respect their decision to do that because you don't want to like repeat things too much, but at the same time, I was kind of like, but the X-Wing's still there.
I know. Like, I get it. Like, there's no way for him to get up. Now, again, in the novelization, it does give a little bit more why the X-Wing is just kind of sitting there. To give you an idea, like, it is one of those things where in the novelization, it talks about, like, hey, how did Luke make this door, you know, this metal door on the hut? Like, you know, the caretakers don't have doors, right? Like, privacy doesn't really matter. This social, you know, society, in the society. Well, it's part of a wing from his X-Wing. Like, so he scavenged his ship. He scuttled his ship and scavenged pieces of it to make tools and things he needed while he was, you know, living on Ahch-To. So, you know, it's, I will say, like, that's the benefit of the novelization of, like, The Last Jedi, is it gave us a little insight to a lot of different things, including a little bit about Luke's X-Wing. What happened to it?
Well, and I just naturally assumed that it being down there was his final show of his determination not to, like, his final, like, isolation from, like, I guess his final isolation would have been when he cut himself off from the Force, but his further, like, so he doesn't get like change his mind or have the temptation to fly out of there, is he, that's why he kind of dumped the X-Wing underneath the water. So like, yeah, he could still scavenge it, but like, I don't know how well it's going to work after being stuck down there for however long.
Yep. All right. Anything else about X-Wings, Caitlin?
There should be an X-Wing ride.
That would be cool. But we know we're going to get the Millennium Falcon ride. I can't imagine them doing an X-Wing also. I will say this. I would love a pod racing ride. Because, you know, got to give the prequels a little love. Because it's the prequels. Because, yeah.
Anyway. I think there's different ways you could do, like, because I feel like the Millennium Falcon, because it's, like, they, like, the experience you went to had to do with, like, the virtual reality, and I feel like the Millennium Falcon's going to be a little different, but you can have, like, I don't know if they would ever do this, but more of, like, a roller coaster ride, and you could do that with, like, the pod racers.
That would be really cool. Like, you know, like, they have a, you know, something like the Dueling Dragons there. Anyway, that's not X-Wing related. So thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.